"Everything comes to an end," he said softly, in an echo of what Joss had told me weeks before. "Yes, we were nearly killed, Slate."
"Nixie, I would never..."
"But you did. We were all nearly killed, and if it wasn't for your obsession, none of us would have been there in the first place. In fact, if it weren't for your obsession..." My voice trailed off. He wasn't meeting my eyes, but there was a look on his face, and my mind was racing again. Everything comes to an end. It was true. Joss had said so much that day. "There's always a sacrifice," Slate had told me much the same thing in the carriage. "Sometimes you have to let something go to take hold of something else." I had thought he was talking about me. Joss's sacrifice, I knew. It was like the myth of the Phoenix. If not for her fiery death in 1886, she never could have risen from the ashes and gone back to 1841 to start a life, to have her daughter,
my mother,
to introduce Lynn to the captain. But to escape Jian's tomb, she had needed us to deliver the map of the aftermath of the fire. My father could never have made that trip. He hadn't grown up steeped in the mythologies that made it possible for me to bring us to the Emperor's mausoleum. Besides, I had done it. Had already done it, Joss had said. Of course, if we hadn't needed the soldiers to help with the robbery, I'd never have taken us to the tomb. If I hadn't gone to the tomb, Joss would never have escaped. If she'd never escaped... I stared at the map. "If not for your obsession," I said to my father, "I wouldn't be here at all." He gave me a pained smile, more like a grimace than a grin. Then he put his hand on the map and traced the blood stain at the edge. It cut right through the name at the corner. The silence between us was infinitely deep.
"It does work, you know,"
he said then.
"Eventually."
"What does?"
"This map. 1868.
"Dad..."
"At least Joss thinks so."
I must have looked surprised, because he laughed, short and bitter.
"It was years ago. She told me my future. My fate. I didn't really take her seriously until... well..."
His eyes were far away, but he tapped his finger on the map.
"She says I'll spend my last months there."
"Your last months?"
"In the time before I arrived to take you aboard the ship. She said I'd die of an overdose, believe it or not."
He laughed again, like it was funny. "Do you believe it?" His smile twisted.
"Sometimes."
I swallowed a sudden lump in my throat. Everything Joss had told me about my future, she had seen in her past. We were both quiet for a moment. It was nearly impossible to force myself to speak, but I had promised to let him go. "Do you want to try it?" His face paled.
"Try this map?"
"I wish we hadn't scuttled the junk," I said. "But if you leave me ashore, I can find my way. I'd like to stop in New York first, but if you can't wait, I understand. And I'd like to take some of the other maps, if you won't need them any longer. Although if Joss is right, you won't need anything but this, really." I nudged the box with my foot, as usual.
"Nixie, please."
"Don't deny it, Slate. This is what you want."
"It's not all I want."
Slate kept his voice low, but it was fierce, and Blake stirred on the bed.
"If we part ways, we will never see each other again."
"I can live with it if you can," I said, jutting out my chin as though it was a dare. It was all I could do to pretend that his response would not matter.
"Don't give me this choice, Nixie."
"I don't think I am, Captain." At my words, he raised his eyes to mine, and I did smile then, because I saw the truth in them now. Sometimes fate makes choices for us. I went out on deck into the light, shutting the door behind me and leaning on the warm wood. I took a deep breath, then another. Kashmir was there on my hammock. B was at the helm. Rotgut was fishing. Topside, everything seemed just as it always was. "You'll be wanting to cast off again soon," I said at last. Kashmir sat up straight and met my eyes.
"Where are we going?"
I shrugged, feeling whimsical. "How about somewhere perfect?" He slid out of the hammock and came to stand beside me.
"But no one believes in such a place."
"You're a good liar, Kashmir," I grinned. "Maybe you can convince me."
"And when do we leave?"
"Whenever the captain's ready," I said. But the door to the cabin had opened again.
"Well, I'm not ready," Slate said. "Not yet."
"No?" Then I noticed that he held his wooden box, filled with all his precious things.
"No."
He paced the deck slowly, tipping the box back and forth between his hands.
"I haven't got a good map," he said,
his brows drawing together as he peered over the rail. Then he rubbed a streak of green verdigris on the copper.
"I need you, Nixie," he said firmly. "Go in the cabin and find me one, would you? Maybe something where we can make some honest cash this time. But you'll figure something out. You always do."
He squared his shoulders. Then he hefted the box in his hands once, twice, leaned back, and flung it, spinning, tumbling into the deep blue sea. There was quiet on deck for a long time, and I was acutely aware of the sound of the waves brushing the hull, the wind trembling in the sails, my heart drumming against my ribs. Then Slate smiled at me, one of his brilliant smiles, as though nothing was wrong, or ever had been.
"I've made my choice, Nixie."
I sought out Kashmir. There was a question in his eyes, but he found the answer in mine, and he nodded a little. My home had always been the temptation. That evening, we left 1884 behind us for good. Blake came out on deck to watch the island grow smaller in our sight until it was a gray smudge on the horizon, and even after. Billy, standing beside him, howled once, and then trotted toward the bow to face the open sea. The sun arced overhead. The sea turned from cobalt to sapphire as the light made the deep water glow. The sails snapped in the breeze as we clipped along, heading away from the island. But toward what? When I checked the captain's cabin, the wide drafting table was empty. I came back out on deck, and Slate was at the helm, his strong hands on the wheel, looking for all the world as though he intended to remain there. He called out to me.
"Well, Nixie, where are we going next?"
This is Kim My Guest. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Girl from Everywhere by Heidi Heilig. This program was produced by Elgin Productions, executive producer Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2016 by Heidi Heilig. Production copyright 2016 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.